Is that better now?
Can we ask the sheriff to get this crowd under control?
That's right.
He needs additional deputies to do that, Mr. Duke.
He's got no power.
And he's got no power. Right. You Democrats took his power away from him.
All right, we'll call the council back into back into session. I have to find my agenda.
We can't hear.
I got it. All right, we'll call the council back into session. Mr. Baker?
Yes. The next item we have is a presentation by Blue Water Wind regarding a proposed offshore energy project. This is Mr. Rob Probst from Blue Water Wind, and he had asked to make a presentation to the county council regarding a proposed project.
Is this mic working?
Yes.
Yeah, it does. Okay.
Yep.
Okay, great. It is what you do.
Dan, you need a new button. You're hearing a...
Turn volume.
Test.
Not working.
Test.
Nope.
I don't even know if I need the mic, to be honest.
Yeah, we got to have it, too. We got to have it for tape.
Okay. All right.
So, I'm calling down.
Okay. Well, thank you. Good morning, and thank you for the opportunity, David, for inviting me. President Dukes, Council, I appreciate the opportunity to be here. I'm Rob Probst. I'm the Delaware Project Director for Blue Water Wind. I'm based in Newark, Delaware. We have offices in Hoboken, New Jersey, Rhode Island, and New York. I'm here today probably principally because back on May 1st, myself, along with others in this room, got hit with a 59% rate increase. That was the result of the caps coming off of our electricity prices and deregulated electricity market. A lot of folks weren't happy about that, including myself. And they let their representatives, senators, know about it. And so this past summer, the legislature passed House Bill 6, which basically asks Delmarva Power and Light to look into the future, come up with a number of strategies to help avoid such a dramatic rate increase in the future. One of the things that the legislature has asked Delmarva Power and Light to do is to consider letting a long-term energy supply contract, 10-plus years. That RFP was issued November 1, and the bidders had till December 22nd to put in a proposal. We are one of three bidders in the process. NRG, an expansion of the coal plant in Sussex County, is one, and Connective Energy Services is another proposal for a natural gas plant up in Newcastle County. What I'm here today to share with you is really just to talk about wind energy more than anything. A little bit about our proposal, answer any questions you might have. There's been a lot of information in the news about the proposal. I'm pleased about the coverage it's gotten, quite positive. We've gotten great reception and support from a number of Delawareans. The first thing I'm going to do is show you a video, which I think will give you a sense of what an offshore wind park looks like. This footage is from Denmark. It was a trip that we took over there to gather some information for Delawareans to show you the experiences that Denmark officials have had with an offshore facility. That's about 13 minutes, and then I will run very quickly, through a PowerPoint presentation and ask or answer any questions you might have. So first, let me just share this video with you.
Pardon me. Big part. All right, guys.
In August 2006, Governor Jim Florio and several members of the Blue Water Wind Team traveled to Denmark to study the world's finest offshore wind parks. They began their journey at Newstead, Denmark's second largest offshore wind park, sailed out 6 miles to examine the wind turbines up close.
How long has this been operational?
The wind farm has been operational for almost 3 years. It's been producing quite well. We've had availabilities on the wind turbines of above 98%.
How many Danish homes is it providing all the electricity for?
This project provides electricity for on an annual basis for 150,000 Danish homes.
Newstead is one of the two very large offshore wind projects that Denmark has sited and built. It was just tremendously exciting to see them as we approached. I stood out on the deck of the boat and watched the turbines as we got closer. It was really very moving to see them. I was struck by the absence of sound. You really couldn't hear them above the wind conditions and the waves.
I was prepared to hear noise. You do not hear any noise. Extremely quiet when you're there, when you're on the turbine, there's no noise at all. Wind forms, onshore and offshore forms, are there substantial differences?
Yes, there are. We in general see that the offshore wind speeds are much higher than onshore. And that's one of the reasons for placing the turbines offshore, that you get much higher and more consistent energy output. Also, since the winds are more stable, you have reduced loads on the turbines, and so they will last longer. Moving them offshore makes sense from an energy production point of view.
Copenhagen, Denmark's capital, has its own offshore wind park located 1 mile from the city's docks. The idea of offshore wind was first championed by Svend Auken when he served as Minister for Environment and Energy. Auken, known today as the father of offshore wind energy, is the most senior member of the Danish Parliament.
The beginning of my tenure, and that is in 1992-93, we built the first offshore wind turbines.
What were the key issues? What were the battles that you fought?
Does it work? This was a big question then. Now we know it did work. Can it ever be competitive? We know now that it can be competitive. Is it stable? We know now it is stable. And we have some prediction techniques that we have contracted almost 95% exactitude. Tell you how much wind power will be produced in the next 24 hours. So all these questions have been answered, and we have jobs. Skilled workers, semi-skilled workers, you have the engineers, you have the commerce people, you have transport people, and you have the scientists.
Did you have any pleasant surprises when you were first in the
industry? I think what fascinated people was actually the volumes we produced. I mean, that was a pleasant surprise. The wind resource was fantastic. I've always promoted it. I think if we can at the same time supply the energy, do it at a reasonable price, and do something about climate change, I think that's where I'm at.
After building the two first offshore parks, we made a program, a five-year program to simply try to look at or measure all the impacts they could think of. How do these parks impact the fish, the waves, the seas, the birds, the sea bottom fauna, and so on. I would say that no other infrastructural development in Denmark has been studied so closely as this wind turbine. For example, the migrating birds, they were afraid that they could collide with the turbine. They monitored the migrating before and after the park was built and found out that the birds simply find ways to avoid the turbine. This result is, I think, fantastic. And I think the global warming problem is threatening all animals, the sea and everything, I mean, much, much more than what could be small effects of winter.
We talked to some folks from the Danish Ornithological Society about bird impacts, and they're very accepting of the wind turbines in their midst. They're watching them very carefully, and what struck me was that there was a fair degree of consensus. The offshore wind projects are creating only the most minimal impact.
There's, I think, an impression that as a birding organization that Audubon is opposed to wind power. Nothing could be further from the truth. We support it. The location of the windmills obviously is critical. They have to be out of major bird flyways. You need to be smart about where they're located, but they can coexist. and we support aggressive pursuit of wind energy.
The crane up here is a TC2500. That's a 450-ton crawler crane. It's a normal land-based crane.
Thorsten York is Director of Marine Operations for a leading offshore wind turbine installation company. He's installed turbines in the waters around Denmark, Great Britain, and Holland.
I had the opportunity to go to Boston in 2004 to participate in a seminar in Boston University. You know, they're talking a lot about the Cape Wind project.
Yes.
And in fact, there was been set down an organization who tried to stop that. It was quite funny to hear the things they were discussing. That was the same thing that we discussed in Denmark 30 years ago. No offense. No offense.
We want to learn. Tell us. What were they saying that was so out of date?
You could see them. Birds will fly into them.
What are you seeing when you're doing your projects?
Birds are not stupid. You see, when birds are coming up 7 kilometers before the turbine site, you see all the birds making a big loop. We were very afraid out here when the seals, when they did the drilling of the pilots, they put up some noise scares to simply keep the seals up. They were standing in the middle of sight looking, what are the crazy Danes doing now? You have seen a much more life on the seabed out there, a lot of oysters and mussels and so on. This is simply because you can see they're growing on the foundations. So I think for the environment, I think it's very good. And you know the exact price of energy today and from 10 a year. That's the same. You haven't got an oil price going up and down. So of course you have. It costs a lot of money to make an offshore turbine, but you know also what your price of energy is in 5, 10, or 20 years from now.
Mors Red is Denmark's largest offshore wind park, located 8 miles from the coast in the North Sea. It produces enough electricity to power 150,000 Danish homes.
My family and I come here twice a year. Right now, as you may see behind me, it's difficult to see the hills. I think they are personally beautiful and they don't disturb anybody, and it's good for our environment.
From the shore, they were visible, but faintly. They didn't dominate the landscape or the beachscape in any way. To me, they seemed to be far off and very, very quiet, so no, they didn't distract the experience of standing on the beach for us.
The concrete experience, for example, around Hornsrud in the western part of Denmark was that the tourist people were concerned before. But now I think everybody agrees that this is not a problem. And in bad weather you can see it, and in good weather it looks nice. I mean, and it's being part of the tourist attraction in the area.
As they leave the wind park, Peter uses GPS to determine turbine distance.
Yes, we're location 28. And we're 4.42 nautical miles.
That's 5.1 highway miles. And as the Blue Water team sails back to shore, the turbines disappear into the mist.
You get a little offshore here, and you've got these 9 meter per second winds. The red and black off the coast, where you've got to have higher winds to justify the higher installation costs, we've got tons of them.
There's a big black dot just off Delaware.
Yeah, we like that. Within this century, if we continue the growth of carbon dioxide emissions, we will commit to melting Greenland's ice. That is a 2 mile thick, in its thickest part, chunk of ice. When that melts, it will raise sea level 6 meters, about 20 feet. That takes out about a third of Delaware. It takes out all our coastal wetlands. It takes out all our beaches. It's a very large impact.
We need to act quickly. We need to act decisively in addressing this issue. Wind energy is a natural. We can produce large quantities of electricity from wind energy. It has to be part of the electric supply mix.
In the past year, we've experienced phenomenal increases in our energy bills. So I personally feel like any source of alternative energy sources would be phenomenal and a major improvement for the area.
I think offshore wind farms would really benefit the community down here. It definitely helps the environment, and if it lowers the rate of electricity, it's terrific.
I would think that it would be a great artificial reef underneath the water for the fish.
Probably even help recreational fish. Delaware being such a small state, it would be a good idea to put them offshore.
And there's always a wind here, 99% of the time, that it would do something to help lower the energy costs.
I agree with that definitely. I can't understand why we haven't done it sooner, if it's being done in Europe.
This is a great beach. It's a beautiful beach. I'm a wind developer who's built on land, and I'm looking to build offshore. There's a reason I'm in Delaware. There's a great resource off these beaches, 66. Wind energy. There's a tremendous amount of power in that wind. Power that can go into the Delaware grid. Yeah. The Delaware Offshore Wind Park will provide all the electricity for 300,000 Delawareans. 300,000 people in the state will get all their electricity in the next 25 years from this project.
We want to have in our portfolio of energy sources ones that are clean, ones that are becoming much, much less expensive. And of course, in these types of situations, the more you use, the less cost. So we want to be inducing people to consider wind farms as an example, and to try and make public policy that's conducive to the development of things like wind farms as sources of clean energy.
Community outreach is really the hallmark of Blue Water Wind. We've already started this by meeting with local and state politicians and regulators and people in the community. And we want to continue to do this so that we answer any questions they have, respond to any concerns they might have. This is a collaboration, a public-private partnership. We and the public sector will work together to find the best location, the location with the best price, and the location with the fewest environmental impacts. So when we design our wind farm, we'll space them very far apart in an arrangement that's pleasing to the eye from the beach, allowing fishing trawlers to trawl between them, recreational fishermen to fish, sailboats of any size. People can use this wind farm as part of the seascape. Whenever you propose an offshore wind project, you go through a lot of studies. Blue Water Wind welcomes that. We want to do all the studies because on the merits, on the facts, offshore wind will win. The Blue Water team consists of people who built wind turbines in the water in Europe. We also have profound local folks, people who understand Delaware, understand the environmental issues, understand the technical issues, understand the electrical infrastructure issues. The combination of the Europeans and Americans will build a great project for Delaware.
If we have people who are leaders, and I don't mean just politicians, I mean leaders in the community, to go talk about these types of things, climate change being all-encompassing issue which affects everyone on the earth, if we talk about how to deal with those things, we will inevitably come to an understanding that wind power is a very important part of how it is we're going to live into this century and beyond.
This is a real opportunity for Delaware to be the first state in the country to have an offshore wind energy farm, to provide Delawareans with long-term, environmentally friendly, stable-priced power, and to be a model for the rest of the country.
I think they're beautiful.
I like windmills.
I think they're great ones.
I think it's a great idea.
Thank you for your patience.
I'm something like that.
That's not much, yeah. And you gave the cats.
You'll square me, buddy.
So there's quite a bit of information in that video, and I'm going to go through these slides extremely quickly. I'm just going to highlight a few of them that I would normally give. A little bit more expanded version, just in the interest of time. And hopefully that might generate a few questions that you might have. Blue Water has put together a project development team with a great deal of experience. It consists of European and American partners, some of the most notable, Ramboll, a very large engineering and construction firm with extensive experience building offshore wind energy projects. Fluor, some people know it as Fluor Daniel, second largest construction and engineering firm in the world, is our partner. When you look at this list, 21 of the 27 wind projects in the world have been designed or built by this project team. So we have very deep experience and capability. We initially proposed three sites, one in the Delaware Bay, two in the Atlantic Ocean. After many presentations in the community, discussions with environmental groups, we decided to take the Delaware Bay proposal off the table. It's a very difficult decision. It cost us a great deal of money to propose all these sites, but we thought it was the right thing to do. There's a lot of concerns about the environmental issues. While it's a very good wind resource there, it's not something that we lightly did, but we thought it was the right thing to do. Well-sited projects are going to be very difficult to see from shore. The closest turbine to shore will be 6 nautical miles. That's in what I would refer to as the Atlantic South Ocean site, which is the one right here. And this is the Atlantic North. I do have some photo simulations over here on this easel that I can share with you at the end. You can take a look of what they would look like. Offshore wind turbines in Europe generate electricity 70 to 90% of the time. We estimate that our project will generate electricity, send electricity into the grid 85 to 89% of the time. So what happens when, people always say, what happens when the wind doesn't blow? Well, there are those times. And what happens is, just like any generator on the electrical grid system, which there are hundreds of them in the PJM territory, if you're not familiar with PJM, it's the entity out of Pennsylvania that manages a grid network that spans from Maryland, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, all the way out to Illinois. And just as a conventional power plant would go down for scheduled or unscheduled maintenance, they balance that load of energy. The energy that comes to your house does not come from one specific power plant. It comes from lots of power systems on the grid. It's almost like filling a bathtub up with water of energy, if you will, and at the end of it comes drops of water. That's a blended amount of the energy. Delaware has a very good wind resource off the coast. It has no good wind resources on land, and therefore that's why we're looking to build out over the oceans. This, by the way, has been verified by the University of Delaware's College of Marine Studies and our own meteorologists as well. We're not talking about a new technology here. In fact, we're using technology that is used on land. It's one of the second fastest growing utility resources in this country, wind energy. There's over 10,000 megawatts installed. Offshore, it is new to this country, but it's not new to Europeans. There's been offshore wind energy since 1991. There's 25 different projects operating in 8 different countries. There will be significant economic development associated with projects. We're talking about a $1.5+ billion investment, 500 plus local jobs to be created during construction. We've also committed to a union labor force. Post-construction, 45 to 50 O&M jobs. We're now thinking, just as recently as last Friday, I haven't updated this slide, we're thinking probably closer to 80 to even 100 operation and maintenance jobs. Very clean, high-tech jobs, employing a wide variety of labor skills. You heard this in the video, but I think it's our strongest point. Next to the environmental attributes, we have very stable prices. Why is the energy stable priced from wind energy? It's because a power plant's greatest cost is the fuel. Our fuel is the wind. The wind is free. We have very predictable O&M costs. The other reason we can guarantee price stability is because we're not going to get impacted by future emission controls. We're not going to be hit by future taxes on carbon, which, if you've been reading the newspaper lately, is the hot topic in the new Congress. All those costs will get passed on to the ratepayers. We don't have any of them. This project also allows Delaware to become part of the solution to global warming. This project's not going to solve global warming. I'm going to put a huge dent into it. It'd be irresponsible for me to suggest otherwise. But it's Delaware's piece of it. I'm going to just skip through some of these slides.
Kramer, how are we going
A lot of people wonder about what activities can occur around the turbines. The answer is, anything you do out there today, you could continue to do. In fact, it presents new opportunities for diving. I had a couple of folks from a presentation come up to me, all excited. They're master divers. These each become their own natural artificial reefs. You can continue to sail. These turbine towers are a half mile apart. Commercial fishing, recreational fishing is actually enhanced. Here's the environmental benefits, probably pretty obvious. It's just nice to see. No air pollution, no water pollution. No mining has to occur in neighboring states to support the energy that we use in Delaware. Here's an underwater shot of the turbine foundation. This is the amount of pollution, few of the constituent pollutants that are avoided per year with the operation of a 600 megawatt wind farm. I'm going to just skip through these. This is going to be a very heavily evaluated project should we win the bid. A wide variety of state, federal, and local authorities will take a very close look at this. We anticipate about a 2-year permitting process before we even start construction. The next few slides are just a few pictures of the construction process. Each foundation is monopile driven into the subsurface, uses technology which is called a jack-up ship or barge. Towers and rotors are taken out to the site, put in place, lifting of the rotor, and there's a completed turbine tower. That's a substation. There'll actually be two of those within the wind park. It's about 75 feet high. A lot of people wonder how tall is that structure. 75 feet. Completed wind farm. We will have a very robust operations and maintenance program. The first 5 years will be done by Vestas, and Fluor will do the operation maintenance on the foundation cable, as well as the onshore and offshore substations. And that's an aerial shot of an existing offshore wind farm. More information? My contact information. Thank you. Questions?
Your base camp, again, would be where for construction? Out of where? Out of Sussex County or someplace else?
The staging area The staging or laydown area to bring in the components would be Wilmington, Delaware, and the port of Wilmington. Need a lot of acreage. Okay. We have an option for 25 acres to utilize in the port. And then the parts would get, there'd be some light assembly, and then they get barged out to the actual site.
Okay. So now that just brings me back to where I was concerned about when we talked, I didn't remember you saying this, but you said something about you've committed to a union labor force.
That's right.
Well, that doesn't help much for Sussex County. And then it dawns on me now, if you're going to be in Wilmington, the port of Wilmington, that there's not going to be much labor force coming out of Sussex County. So the economic impact when it comes to labor is going to be minimal.
I'm not sure, because we haven't done such a fine analysis to find out exactly where that labor pool is coming from. There may not be enough people in the immediate Wilmington vicinity, IEBW folks, crane operators, millwrights, et cetera, to do the work and the number of people that we need. So we may be pulling not only throughout the state, but regionally to meet the labor force.
My point is, union labor is not a big deal in Sussex County. There's probably very few union jobs.
Oh, I see what you're saying. I misunderstood your question.
If you're going to take a total union labor force, and it's coming mostly out of Wilmington, it'll be probably from the Wilmington, Philadelphia area and all that stuff. Okay.
Well, they have the pipe fitters and all that.
Pardon me?
They still have the pipe fitters and all that.
I'm just saying the staging area will be in Wilmington.
And you said you closed down the Rehoboth deal? I mean, you pulled that permit?
We pulled the Delaware Bay.
The Delaware Bay.
Oh, okay.
Yep. Proposal off.
Mm-hmm. I have a question.
Yes, sir.
This little picture here says offshore wind turbines in Europe generate electricity 70 to 90% of the time.
Correct.
How strong does the wind have to blow to generate wind power?
Yeah, there's a slide in your handout there that shows some of the values of what we're looking at offshore in Delaware.
No, Jimmy probably could put one in the back of this room.
Well, I was trying to find out what.
Yeah,
trying to find out what
a minimum of 15 to 16 miles per hour.
And what total? What percentage of the total power consumed in Europe is produced by wind?
It varies by country. Denmark has 20%, in some portions of the country 30%. They're committing to going to 50%. Spain has a very high percentage. Germany has a very high percentage. Well up into the teens and approaching 20%. So there's not any significant issue with grid stability per se.
Be nice.
You know, when you're adding conventional power with offshore wind power.
How does the grid stay energized when the wind's not blowing, like on a summer day where you may have no wind?
Yeah, that's a great question. PJM, the entity that manages the whole grid network, out of, again, from Maryland, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, out to Chicago, they balance loads into the system all the time. They call in generation. They tell generators to back off. There's hundreds of generators that provide power to the system. Just as a conventional plant may go down for scheduled or unscheduled maintenance, within seconds, new energy can be put back into the grid. We can actually forecast 24 hours ahead to let PJM know how much energy we're going to be putting into the grid. And that's what all generators do. They tell PJM, you know, what they think they're going to do the next several hours, and that's how power is traded on the network.
So I assume
it's seamless. There's no, you know, if our whole wind turbine or wind farm went down, or if a conventional power facility went down, you're not going to see a brownout, you know, a brownout or a dimming of your lights. All that power just is.
The wind couldn't energize the grid all the time by itself.
No, no generation currently in Sussex County could. I mean, that would be a massive facility, though.
How much of the power generated at Indian River goes to just powering the grid? What percentage?
I don't know how many homes it serves. I mean, our project would serve 130,000 equivalent homes. But again, the power from whether it be Indian River or the wind park, that energy doesn't exclusively flow to Delawareans. Again, it's that bathtub concept. You're putting, you know, electrons into the bathtub, if you were, filling it up, and then out come at the end comes a blended, you know, amount of all kinds of generation on the grid.
You're just contributing to the pool. Cost kilowatt?
I'm sorry, say
first,
that again,
first
sir?
First of the cost, that's the bottom line. I mean, I know there's certainly economically, but, I mean, to produce electricity versus, you know, DP&L, all the other people on the market there, are you comparable?
We believe we are cost competitive. That determination is actually being made right now by four different state agencies, the Public Service Commission, Delmarva Power as well, the Office of the Comptroller General, DENREC Energy Office, and the Office of Management and Budget. They're all reviewing all three bids and are looking heavily at cost. They're not only looking at day one costs, but they're looking at the long-term costs. And they're also looking at environmental attributes. These are all components of House Bill 6. First day costs, long-term costs, and environmental attributes. And we feel confident that over the life of our project, the ratepayers are going to pay less out of pocket for our energy than any other source. And I'm not even factoring in environmental and social costs.
And Rob, there's no permits or no approvals required from Sussex County, right?
I believe that's right.
This is a yes.
I believe that's right. Yes, oh, we actually. Yes, that's correct. We actually
we
met
can just
right.
be back
a couple of months ago. This is purely an informational meeting. I'm not right. asking you for any financing. All right.
You need it in a week?
Yeah, next week. I need $1.5 billion.
How our requests come down here in Sussex?
No, it was really just to.
A wink and a nod.
Give you information, that's all.
In a perfect world, when would you be blowing wind, making electricity?
Yeah, thank you. 2 years for permitting and 2 years to be fully energized. The half of the project, which is 300 megawatts, would be energized in 2011, and the second half would be energized in February 2012. It's a 2-year build.
But there, you can see them.
from the coastal area. When people ask us, can you see them? Yes, you can. One proposal you can see from Rehoboth, if I'm not mistaken, and one proposal you can see from Bethany.
Yeah, I'd invite anybody in the audience as well as I'll pass these along to the council.
The shoreline, how big does it look, really? I mean, it's like an inch tall?
They're not much, but you can see them.
Yeah, please recognize as you look at these photos, in the bottom right corner it says Atlantic North or Atlantic South. Atlantic North is the furthest one out, so I'll just pass these around.
Be pretty quick.
So what you're looking at now is Atlantic North from various vantage points along the coast. The top picture is without the wind park. The bottom picture is with the wind park.
You can turn lights on so I can see it.
You can't see them on here.
Nope. Well, Not a thing on here.
There were some nights, Rob, you know, could walk the boardwalk Rehoboth and see New Jersey, and boy, that would give you chills.
We're not going to build New Jersey.
You got bifocals, Mr. Cole, for that. You won't be able to see
that. You can always see New Jersey
on a nice clear night.
That gives me a thrill.
Yeah, another question. If you did do this, would that prevent some individual? I mean, we used to have an individual in Milton that sold windmills for energy, and you sell it back if you use too much. Would that prevent an individual from doing his own windmill?
No. They could put one up on their property, I suppose.
Right.
In this bottom picture, they're not very clear.
It's not that.
Oh, no.
I can see that boat out there. Can't see the windmill.
That's the Rehoboth Beach boardwalk deal.
It's really in a federal jurisdiction.
Yeah, these would be in federal waters, although we do require state approval because we'll be bringing the transmission line ashore.
Is that where you're at now, getting the state approval and the state approval?
At this point, we're just waiting for the bid process. They're reviewing the three bids, and a decision would be made in mid-June as to who should have a winning bid, or they could choose nobody or multiple.
But not all three bids are for wind.
That's right. One's for coal, one's for natural gas, and one's for wind.
Okay. Anything else?
That's all. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
Mr. Baker.
Move right along. The next item is an appointment to the Assessment Review Board, and I think Mr. Cole has an appointment that has expired. Mr. Ron Patterson is currently on the board.
I haven't heard much out of him. He must like it. Put him back.
Damn how they appeal.
Heard any.
Is that a motion?
That's a motion.
Second. What's his name, George?
Ron Patterson.
Ron Patterson.
You know him?
I don't know him.
He's one of the other.
One of my best friends. Put him back on.
Cousin? I have a motion, Mr. Cole.
That's Mr. Phillips you're confusing. He's the one puts all his relatives.
I have a motion, Mr. Cole, second to Mr. Rogers, to appoint Ron Patterson to the Assessment Review Board. Mr. Cole.
Yes. Can't stand it.
Mr. Rogers.
Yes.
Say yes.
He'll do
Mr.
all right.
Mr. Jones.
Yes.
Yes, motion is carried. Administrator's report.
Okay, the only item I have is a copy of the State Police Activity Report, which shows 3,836 complaints during December. 588 felony criminal arrests, 1,536 misdemeanor criminal arrests, and 3,306 traffic arrests during the month. Then I'm done.
And that's that.
You on top of trust?
Mr. Godwin, 2 hours late.
Mr. President, members of council, if I would be allowed to make two comments, I'd like to make two comments on the nice presentation we just saw. Number one, find a way to keep the oil tankers passing by the windmills from colliding with them and spilling oil all over our pristine beach, because we know they'll do that. And number two, I'd also like to see a way to block oil companies from making any investments in this scheme, because they'll mess that up too.
Editorial comment?
Those are my two comments.
We're not going to want.
For your consideration this afternoon, I have three police grants for you to consider. The first one is for the city of Seaford. They're requesting a disbursement of $5,193 from their annual $25,000 budget for lighting and equipment for one of their police cars. This will bring their draw so far this budget cycle to a total of $19,807.
So moved. Let's do it real quick.
I have a motion by Mr. Cole, second by Mr. Jones, to give Seaford $5,195, did you say?
Yeah, $5,193.
$5,193 towards their local law enforcement grant request. Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Rogers?
Yes.
Mr. Jones?
Yes.
Yes, motion carried.
The second one, gentlemen, is for the town of South Bethany. They're requesting a draw of their full grant of $25,000 for the purpose of security lockers, a printer, in-car video cameras, and a Dell computer server.
So moved.
Second. I have a motion, Mr. Cole, second to Mr. Jones, to for $25,000 for South Bethany and then for their law enforcement grant. Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Rogers?
Yes.
Mr. Jones?
Yes.
Yes, motion carried.
Gentlemen, the third and final request is from the city of Lewis, the first city in the first state. They're asking for a disbursement of $9,560.79, which will bring their total draw on this budget cycle to a total of $18,990.79, and the purpose is to purchase computers and a surveillance system.
So moved.
Second.
I have a motion, Mr. Cole, second, Mr. Rogers, to grant $9,560.79 to the city of Lewis against their law enforcement grant. Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Rogers?
Yes.
Mr. Jones?
Yes.
Yes, motion carried.
Thank you.
Good job, Hal.
Mr. Archie?